Hello and welcome to Lampardy, October 2021's Game of Lampardy. I'm your host, Jake Blurt from Life vs. Film and Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. And this is our second show in the second round of our first go of this experiment of a Lampardy tournament. We've done 9 first round shows. We've got 9 winners through that one. We've already culled 1 batch of those 3 down to 1. We're on to the next batch of 3. So these are all previous winners duking it out for a place in the finals. And yes, I do sound terrible. I'm sorry, I have a cold. Deal with it. I'm going to cut out anything you don't want to hear, and this is just what you're left with. So who are our previous winners duking out for the final? Well, first up we have, from Coogs Review, is Tony Cogan.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Tony, welcome back. We also have, from French Show Sunday, is Mark Armstead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, Mark. And finally, from the Rambling Ramblers movie podcast, is Justin Gott.
Good morning.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Justin, wherever you are, all covered. Happy noon out there, people. Happy midnight. There we go. So, it's Lampardy. We know how to play Lampardy, we've played it before, but just for anyone choosing this as their first ever Lampardy show, welcome, crazy people, welcome. We have 2 rounds, normal Lampardy and a double Lampardy. Each round is split into 6 categories. Each category has 5 questions of ascending points order. In the first round, those points are 100, 200, 300, 400, and 500. They double for the second round. Players will buzz in by shouting their name when they think they can answer the question correctly. They will then wait until I've called upon them to answer, and then they will give the answer to the question. If the answer is correct, they win that amount of points. If it is incorrect, they lose that amount of points. There's a daily double in each round somewhere, and they must answer in the form of a question. If I was lenient the first time round on that, I'll be less so this time. It's because we all know what we're doing these days. Except for me, because I've forgotten to get a bit of paper that I need that is integral to this game. There we go. Bit of paper. Sorted, professional, unpaid podcasting. That's what you're listening to here. So, we need to determine who is going to go first. We do that by randomly picking a number. I'm thinking of a number. Tony, what number am I thinking of? Well, between 1 and 100.
27.
27, okay. Justin?
3.
Mark?
I'm going to go 73.
Well, Justin is closest. That number was 13. So he is 10 away, so Justin gets to pick the first category. It's no help for anyone unless he randomly stumbles on a daily double. That's the only way this could possibly change anything. So, unlikely. 1 in 30 chance, you never know. It has actually it happened last month. if it happens this month, bloody hell. So yes, we need some questions. Those questions for the first round, the categories for the first round are Field of Bad Dreams, Man, Piano Man, Walking Fiend Hicks, What's the Score, Roll Call, and Parental Guidance. I've put those in the Skype chat. So those are, once again, Field of Bad Dreams, Man, Piano Man, Walking Fiend Hicks, What's the Score, Roll Call, and Parental Guidance. And I've outsourced a lot of today's questions from some very helpful folk who will get credited as we go. So, Justin, where are we starting?
Man, I have no idea what any of those things mean.
Yeah, it's because you don't listen to the show. Tony knows what some of them mean.
Let's do Roll Call for 100.
Okay. So, this is the October show. I was tempted to intro the show saying, and it's all horror questions, just to hear Justin just die inside a little bit. But that's not what I've done.
I would have squealed.
Yes, Mark would have just won the episode immediately from the introduction. So this is a kind of horror adjacent category. Basically, with Roll Call, I'm going to list off 5 characters that one actor has played over the course of their career. And you just tell me which actor has played all of those characters. And because Halloween Kills has just been released, these are all actors who are in the Halloween franchise somewhere. There's like 28 films, I don't know. I've only seen 3 of the films, two of the films even, and I knew all of these people were in the franchise despite that. So these are like mostly obviously in the franchise people. Okay. So how many points are we starting with, Justin?
100.
100. So for 100 points, everyone's on the board. Who has played Cuchillo, El Jefe, Razor Charlie, Johnny 23, and Machete?
Tony.
Justin. Mark?
Tony.
Who is Danny Trejo?
That is correct. Danny Trejo has played all of those characters. including Machete in Machete. So, Tony, the board is yours.
Let's keep going on this category for 200.
Okay, for 200 points, which Halloween franchise actor has played B.D. Brockhurst, President John Harker, Professor John McGregor, Colin Blythe, and Ernst Stavro Blofeld?
Tony. Who is Donald Pleasance.
That is correct. And I meant to say, to like do a recap, Deitrio played Cuchillo in Predators, El Jefe in XXX, Razor Charlie in From Dusk Till Dawn, Johnny 23 in Con Air, and Machete in Machete. And Donald Pleasance played B.D. Brockhurst in Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, President John Harker in Escape from New York, Professor John McGregor in Phenomena. I just like the name Professor John McGregor. Colin Blythe in The Great Escape, and Ernst Stavro Blofeld in You Only Live Twice. So, Tony's in the lead, 300 points. What are we doing?
Yes, keep going for 300.
Okay, for 300 points, which Halloween actor has played Ophelia, Willa Weston, Helen Tasker, Nora Crank,
Tony. Who is Jamie Lee Curtis?
That is correct, and Linda Drysdale. So Ophelia from Trading Places, Willa Weston from Fierce Creatures, Helen Tasker from True Lies, Nora Crank from Christmas with the Cranks, and Linda Drysdale in Knives Out, which I watched again last night, and it's still fantastic.
This is it. So yes, keep going for 400.
Okay, for 400 points, which actor has played Madame Nora, Dorothy Vaughan, Sue Ann, Zelda Fuller, and Corey the Manticore?
Tony. Who is Octavia Spencer?
That is correct. Madame Nora in Dinner for Schmucks. She is a pet psychic, apparently. Dorothy Vaughan in Hidden Figures. Sue Ann in Ma. Zelda Fuller in The Shape of Water. And Corey the Manticore in Onward.
Didn't we see the Halloween series?
Exactly. Where? When?
I'm sorry? In Halloween?
When?
She is in like Halloween Resurrection, I think. It's a small role.
You know what? She is. She's the college security guard in that, I think.
It's not one I've seen, but I think that's one of Octavia Spencer's many roles as playing a nurse and or security guard figure. She was underserved at the start of her career, I would say. Tony, we have one question left in this category or everything else on the board. Okay. What do you want to do?
Let's finish this category off.
Okay, for 500 points, who played Esther Blumenbergen Steinenthal? That's one person. Erin the File Girl. Kathy Deitch. Lucy Wyman. And Fern Mayo.
I know who this person is. I don't know her name. And I feel really shitty about it right now.
That is unfortunate.
Yes.
So Esther Blumenbergen Steinenthal. Erin the File Girl. Kathy Deitch.
Justin. Let's try it. Is it Judy Greer? Who is Judy Greer?
That is correct. It is Judy Greer. Esther Blumenbergen Steinenthal was in The Hebrew Hammer, a film I've never heard of, but I couldn't resist that surname. Erin the File Girl from What Women Want. Hard touch to say with a cold. Kathy Deitch from The Three Kings. Lucy Wyman in 13 Going on 30. And Fern Mayo in Jawbreaker. So Justin has points on the board. Congratulations. And the control of the board is yours. What do you want to do next?
Parental guidance 100.
Okay, my favourite category. This is a holdover from the previous two games where I've gone through the parental guidance settings on animated Disney films on IMDb. I'm going to just read out verbatim what somebody has written as parental guidance on IMDb for an animated Disney film, and you tell me what film I am describing.
Excellent.
100, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, for 100 points. In the alcohol, drugs, and smoking category, a character is seen smoking a cigar, but he can't be affected in the lungs since he is a magical genie.
Tony.
Justin.
Tony.
What is Aladdin?
That is correct. And when he is doing an impersonation of a French person, he has a cigarette in his mouth. Also in Aladdin, in Sex and Nudity, just one word, kisses. just kisses.
Oh, IMDb.
It's just delightful. I love it so much.
Never change IMDb.
Maybe you could, a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a
tad. Tony, the board is yours.
Keep going this one for 200.
Okay, for 200 points. In the frightening and intense scenes category, Despite being slapstick humor, the scene where the villain gets brutally attacked and chased by the crocodile may be scary. Tony.
Justin. What is Peter Pan?
That is correct. I'm going to finish this. May be scary for some viewers and for those who were actually attacked by crocodiles in real life.
And I also can see how that could be triggering.
Absolutely. But also under Frightening Intense Scenes, it says there is cartoon action. That's a whole entry. In this cartoon action film, there is cartoon action. So, again, I love this. Tony, the board is still yours.
Yeah, let's keep going for 300.
And that's a daily double. So, Tony, you have a scoring update. Mark is in third place with 0 points. Justin is second with 500, and you're in the lead with 1,300. You may bid up to 1,300. What do you want to do?
Let's bid 400.
400, okay. Playing it safe. So, this is just for Tony, 400 points. In the violence and gore category, the three fates share one eyeball and pop it out frequently to give it to each other.
What is Hercules?
That is correct. 400 points.
The one I know was a damn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mark. The Daredevils kind of get randomly assigned. So, well, Tony, we still have 4 and 5 left in this category, or the rest of the board.
Yeah, let's keep going for 400.
Okay, for 400 points. In profanity, repeatedly, the villain's home is called Hell Hall. However, this is...
Justin. What is The Princess and the Frog?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Tony. What is 101 Dalmatians?
That is correct. However, this is in the context of referring to location, not as a curse word. It just happens to be called Hell Hall. It's not named after Hal. Of course not. Tony, the board is yours.
Finish your secondary off.
Okay, for 500 points. In the sex and nudity category, the prince sings for the female lead who kisses a bird to send the bird to kiss the prince. The prince sings for the female lead who kisses a bird to send the bird to kiss the prince. Three.
I feel like I've seen this, but I don't recognize it.
I would be surprised if you hadn't.
Mark. Let's see. There's a few I have in mind. What is Cinderella?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Okay.
Justin or Tony, do you want to have a guess?
No.
Do.
Okay, before you say it, is it Tangled?
It's not. It's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay.
Because another entry was, under sex and nudity, nothing explicit. It's a children's movie from the 1930s. which made me chuckle. So, Tony, the board is still yours. We have everything left in What's the Score, Walking Fiend Hicks, Man, Piano Man, and Field of Bad Dreams.
So I think I know what this one's going to be, so... Let's go for Man, Piano Man.
You do indeed. I need to bring in a special guest for this one. As I did last month, he's been waiting on call for the past 20 minutes. And joining us once again, second month in a row, is David Brook from Blueprint Review. David, welcome back to Lampardy.
Hello.
As a question round, not as a contestant. Once again. So yes, David is here. David is quite the pianist, as we found out on a few shows. So David's going to play a song. And you need to tell me what film that song is from. And this time around, it's a Bond song. It's all Bond.
Oh, questions. God.
Yeah. I knew that would be the response.
Lots of Bond fans by the sounds of things.
just double check. Do you want the film or the song name?
I'm going to go film to make it slightly more difficult.
Oh, fantastic. Great. Yeah.
I feel like there'd be some rosters of Lampardy guests where we got in the first three bars. And then there's our guests today. So nothing to disparage them. I just know that they're not all Bond fans. So let's see how this goes.
Oh,
dear.
We'll see.
So, yes. Go ahead. So, yeah, Tony, do you want to start with 100 or what?
100, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, hey. Everyone's back in. Everyone do what you want.
Right, ready?
Interrupt him as needed, or if you want to just listen to the music, that's fine.
No, stop me.
Tony.
What's he's living that day?
Yes, that nice is, easy one to begin
that
with.
That is correct. I kind of want you to play the rest of the song. But...
I just wanted to get to this bit, the cool bit. The, Anyway.
Yeah, that's great. Like when we talked about No Time to Die, I was on the Lambcast about No Time to Die last week. One of the guests, James, was like, "Oh, I hate the Live and Let Die song." It's like one of the best.
Kick him off the show instantly.
It's one of the best.
And you didn't kick him out immediately. Kick him off the call immediately.
I don't host the show anymore. I don't have that power. I just have to sit there and take it. David, carry on as you will.
Right. So the 200 question, then, I guess.
Yes.
Is You Only Live Twice?
Yes, excellent.
See, I don't know what these are either this time around, so I'm playing too, but I got it just before Tony did, so I'm happy about that.
Right, they're going to start to get slightly harder now, I think.
Oh, really? Hard?
Good lord.
Right, this one's... They start to get trickier as well, so apologies for any mistakes. All right.
Is A View to a Kill.
Okay, this is becoming quite one-sided this round.
I mean, it's not just this round. It's fun to hear just the piano version of Duran Duran. Never thought I'd hear that, so that's fun.
It's quite an unusual one. Right. Okey-doke. Carry on. Right, this one's hard.
I've heard all of these songs before. Any guesses from anyone? Mark, Justin?
I recognise the song, but I can't place the film.
It's one of the more generic ones. I thought I'd sneak it in there. I thought it'd be harder. Any no takers?
I think we're timing that one out.
Thunderball.
Ah, yes. I couldn't even hum that song for you. I'm aware that there is a Thunderball song. I think it's by Tom Jones.
To be fair, I quite like it. I think it's underrated, but it's a bit more of the generic. It just sounds ultra-typical Bond sort of thing.
I might like it. I don't remember it.
Right, final one. This is the hardest one.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
I know the song, but I don't know what film it's from.
That's a trick on this one.
I'm going to throw out a clue that the song is called All Time High and see if that helps anybody.
Yes, that is the song.
That's interesting.
It's one of the rare non-titled songs.
I don't want to risk the money, but I haven't
guessed. I'm going to time it out. What do you think it was, Justin?
Based on that title, I would have said Moonraker.
No.
Good. I'm glad I didn't risk it.
that would be Moonraker. But yes. No, it's Octopussy.
Yes, right, yes. Because they couldn't do a song called Octopussy. Right, that would be ridiculous. Of course.
Yeah. that makes sense.
Well, as always, fun. David, it has been delightful listening to your music. Thank you very much for gracing us with your presence.
This was actually beautiful.
I always managed to stump a couple of people, but never mind.
Well, I think last time round, I think only two were answered. This time, three were answered. That's an improvement.
We're getting better.
There we go. cool. Nice. Okay, well, anything going on at Blueprint Review that we should know about?
Just the usual, lots of Blu-ray reviews and such. So just keep an eye out on those. Nothing special, blueprintreview.co.uk.
Excellent. Cool. Thank you very much. Everyone go check out that. And who knows, maybe David will be back here next month. We'll see if our schedules line up again.
Cool, I'll leave you to it. Good luck, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Cheers.
Thanks. I'm going to need it.
Okay, well, Tony, you have control of the poster. We have everything left in Field of Bad Dreams, Walking Fiend Hicks, and What's the Score? And there are no more special guests for the rest of the show. Just so you know. Where do you want to begin, Tony?
Let's go What's the Score for 100.
Okay. In this one, very similar to the last one, actually, it's a music question. I'm going to I'm just going to list off song titles from a film's score. You tell me what film they are from. This sounds more difficult than it's actually going to be, because a lot of these titles are well titled. You'll see. So for 100 points, which film has these songs? Journey to the Island, A Tree for My Bed, Remembering Petticoat Lane, Dennis Steals the Embryo.
Justin. What is Jurassic Park?
That is correct. And Hatching Baby Raptor. Justin has control of the board.
200.
Okay, for 200 points. Passage Through the Planet Core. The Droid Battle. Duel of the Fates.
Tony. Justin. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
That is correct. Qui-Gon's Noble End and Anakin Defeats Sebulba for the next two.
Let's keep going for 300.
Okay, for 300 points. Moonlight Serenade. Blood Ritual. Will and Elizabeth.
Tony.
Ah.
What is Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl?
That is correct. Bootstraps was the next one. And the Medallion Calls. So yeah, that's correct.
Let's keep going for 400.
Okay, for 400 points. Three Dog Dash. 52 Tchotchke Pickup. Tchotchke Pickup. Kevin Beacon. The Small Mailman Returns. And Married Life.
Tony. What is Up?
That is correct. Married Life, the song my wife and I walked down the aisle to.
Had to be at least one Michael Jackson pun name in there.
I mean, yeah, you got to. If you're doing titles, score names, Giacchino's got to be in there somewhere. And let's finish it off. Okay, for 500 points, good luck, everyone. Chocolate Charms, Dr. Pill, High on Life, Bugs Got a Devilish Grin Conga, and Sarah Goldfarb Has Left the Building. Chocolate Charms, Dr. Pill, High on Life, Bugs Got a Devilish Grin Conga, and Sarah Goldfarb Has Left the Building. Three, two, one. We're looking for what is Requiem for a Dream. No worries there.
So, Tony, the board is still yours. We have everything left in Walking Phoenix.
Let's go for Walking Phoenix.
Okay, these are sent in by Nick Rehack from Fresher Sunday. And every podcast going at the moment, he's guesting everywhere because he wants to make friends. I don't blame him, it's fun. So all these questions feature evil or dastardly rednecks or hillbillies. So thanks, Nick. So for 100 points, the film that is literally the definition of this category, don't go squealing like a pig trying to guess it.
Mark. Finally. What is Deliverance?
That is correct.
All right.
And the board is yours.
Well, staying here may seem, you know, like a good idea, but something is driving me to the field of bad dreams. So let's, you know, make a detour there for 100.
Okay. Well, these were sent in by Movie Rob from the site Movie Rob and The Great Escape Minute. These are all questions about films where dreaming is essential to the plot. So, for 100 points, a young girl survives a tornado storm and finds herself...
Mark. What is The Wizard of Oz?
That is correct. Justin, you were like a microsecond behind him. It was in a strange land.
It's been my day so far.
Finds herself in a strange land filled with flying monkeys and lots and lots of little people. Wizard of Oz, yes. A film I just watched again recently as well. That's odd. Well, Mark, the board is yours. We have 2 through 5 in both of these categories.
Let's go with 200.
Okay, for 200 points in Field of Bad Dreams, a group of dream experts infiltrate the mind of a billionaire.
Justin. What is Inception?
That is correct. In order to implant a simple thought. Inception.
300 in this category.
Okay, for 300 points, a young girl wakes from a dream and finds herself in a very strange world filled with cats, playing cards, and a white rabbit.
Justin. What is Alice in Wonderland?
That is correct.
400?
Okay, for 400 points, a man wakes up after getting a memory implant and thinks he may be a deep cover spy.
Mark. What is Total Recall?
That is correct. And Mark, you're now in the positives, just so you know.
About time, thank God. Let's see if I can stay there. Let's go with 500.
Okay, for 500 points. A man has dreams about a bleak future and must try and find a way to save himself and his family.
That's not generic at all.
Isn't it? Well,
yeah. Ooh, one more time?
A man has dreams about a bleak future and must try and find a way to save himself and his family. And this is from 2010. Another hint.
Tony. What's his Take Shelter?
That is correct. Yeah, great Michael Shannon.
I haven't
Shannon.
Seen that one.
It's very good. Michael Shannon is...
Michael Shannon is amazing in that.
Wonderful in everything, but specifically in this.
But he's a great actor, so I'll definitely take your word for it.
He's maybe the best actor, who could say.
I'd say that's probably my favourite performance of his.
He's definitely up there. The Night Before is one I enjoy him in a great deal as well. Anyway, we have 200 through 500 left in Walking Phoenix Hicks. Tony, what are we doing first?
Let's go for 200 first.
Okay, for 200 points. It's not a motorcycle, baby. It's a chopper. Don't worry about getting medieval. He's dead. I'm just reading it.
Oh, my God.
Mark. Shit. I just messed this up again. Oh,
Justin.
Okay. I'm going to say... Rednecks. What is Army of Darkness?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Justin, you...
Okay.
You want the movie title, right?
Yes, please.
Okay, what is Pulp Fiction?
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead. Justin, 300 or 500?
300.
Okay, for 300 points, not all hillbillies and rednecks are covered in dirt and wear overalls. Some are salesmen that wear seersucker suits and clan hoods. Not all hillbillies and rednecks are covered in dirt and wear overalls. Some are salesmen that wear seersucker suits and clan hoods. I would say it's still a little vague, so I'm also going to say some of them also have one eye.
Tony.
Mark.
Justin. Tony. What is Oprah for Where Art Thou?
That is correct.
Correct. Yeah, if you hadn't said the one I think.
And it could have been a lot of films if I hadn't said the one.
Yeah.
So, should we just carry on going?
Yeah.
Okay, for 400 points. This 1978 film went through titles like The Day of the Woman, I Hate Your Guts, and Revenge of Jennifer Hill before deciding on this one.
Mark. What is I Spit on Your Grave?
That is correct. We have one question left in this round, so for 500 points. No Way in Hell, I'm asking for directions from Three Finger, Sawtooth, or One Eye. No Way in Hell, I'm asking for directions from Three Finger, Sawtooth, or One Eye. Three, two, one.
Justin?
Do. I love the... Oh, Justin. Justin time. Unintentional.
Wrong turn.
Unintentional pun. Wrong turn is correct.
Okay. I had to go deep into my 18-year-old viewing experiences for that one.
Well, it worked. I normally enjoy the anticlimax of the final question on the board not getting any points. But that worked too. So, good. That's the first round done. A quick scoring update. Mark is in third place with 300 points. Justin is second with 1,400. Tony's in the lead with 4,400. But there are a lot of points on the board for the second round, so all of this could change. But before we get into that, let's get to know our contestants a little better. So as I've said, this is October. It is horror month. This is not a horror quiz. I had intended to try and get the three semi-finalists who are the most horror-themed together for October, and they all do a horror quiz. I'm the wrong person to write that game for one thing, but also it's not how the schedules worked. This is the only way it could have been. It could have gone. So it just didn't happen. So I'm sorry. But we are still going to have a horror-related question. So I want to know, what's the first film that ever really scared you? Let's dig into your psyche a little bit. So for me, that would be The Shining. I didn't watch a lot of horror films growing up. I didn't watch any horror films growing up. I watched The Shining when I was about 14 or 15, and it scared the living piss out of me. It was like the first horror film I watched. Like of any kind, no shitty slasher films or just anything at all. I never went to like a sleepover or anything when watched horror films at night. I just went along watching like Disney films and some action films. And then one evening watched The Shining, and that's just it's not a good way to be. And it literally scared me off horror films for the next 5 or 10 years. I don't know. So it's a long time before I watched anything else other than like the Final Destination films. Anything more. More hardcore than Deep Blue Sea. Not a horror film. So it's why I'm not great at writing horror questions, because I haven't got that background. But yeah, The Shining did a number on me. It's mainly, I think I've said this before, mainly the scene where Jack Nicholson comes across the very beautiful woman getting out of the bathtub, and it's a delightful scene for a 15-year-old boy. Until she turns into this rotting corpse in his arms and is traumatizing, and I've yet to recover. So that's just me. Everyone else, what's a film? What's the first film that scared you that you can remember?
Yeah, for me, I remember vividly when I was 10, watching the Steven Spielberg version of War of the Worlds, the first tripod scene. And I remember being really like scared watching that bit, and never really recover watching the rest of the film, and just kept thinking back to that bit.
And that's like the opening sequence where Tom Cruise is running down the road and people are evaporating left and right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's tough, because like he's the hero of the film, but all of these people could be the heroes of their own film, and then in a microsecond they're dust.
And how many near misses there are, and just how good the sound design is in that scene. It just really freaked me out. And I also remember that year the Peter Jackson version of King Kong and the spider pit scene. I'm not the best with insects.
I mean, that's a scene that has never scared me. And there are days, I can remember, there are days where I'd go to work and I'd be at work and I really want to watch that scene from King Kong. And this is like before you could find these kind of scenes on YouTube. So I would go home, and I'd put in the DVD, and I'd just get to that scene, and I'd just watch the bug scene, and I'd feel better about myself. I don't know what it is about. I really enjoy that sequence. I mean, like Andy Serkis trying to chop off his own head.
with a giant slug on it. Yeah, it's incredible. And yeah, that, I mean, the scene in War of the Worlds, I would argue that's the best scene of the film. I don't dislike the film. It's a fine film. But I think
it peaks there.
It does peak there. And then you have all that nonsense with, it's going to call him Andy Dufresne. That's not his name.
Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, thank you. With like Tim Robbins in the bunker. Like, what's going on? I don't care about this stuff. Let's get back to the monsters. But yeah. What about you, Justin? What film scared you first?
Well, at the moment, it's the one where the person who I'm competing against right now said he was 10 when he saw War of the Worlds, which has
Tony's
been
a young person is unfortunate.
So this is how that feels. So I would. There's a funny thing about that. I'm with you, Jay. Whereas I didn't see any horror movies. They were basically not allowed in any way in my house growing up. So it took a long time before I actually got to like watch some of them. And so I could say the trailer for Scream, which when that came out, I think it came out in 96. Is that correct? Does anybody have a confirmation?
That
on
sounds
that?
Right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so I was 9 at that point, and so like for me, I was like, I think I remember seeing the commercial on TV and like the face and all that. And I think I pretty much lost my shit from there. But if I were to say like a full movie that I sat down to watch, you know, willingly and then got scared after, it would probably be the first Paranormal Activity.
Yep.
Which was like in my early 20s, and I was living with my girlfriend at the time, and it all just kind of felt very, very real, obviously, because of the found footage thing, of course. And I didn't have Blair Witch Project experience where, like, that was something I was used to. So it just kind of it threw me for a loop for sure. I definitely remember peeking around corners and not wanting to go to sleep and things like that. And I was, you know, much older. So that movie threw me for sure.
Yeah, that's one that terrified me. I think I said it even on last month's show, I'm not sure, where the first time, the only time I watched Paranormal Activity was on a laptop, with that laptop, like, in bed. So I was lying, and the position of the laptop from my bed was the same as the camera to the bed in like, completely unintentional. That was just how, that was just the setup of the room, and the only room I could watch the film, and I had to review it for the 1001 list. So this is, like, as an adult. This was, like, on a release, and that just, you know, it was a terrifying experience. That's not how you do things.
Namely that, just even that last, I can actually picture it now. So thank you for bringing this back into my life today.
You're welcome.
But happy Halloween. That final scene of like, of her like moving towards the camera or whatever she does at the end, that very last scene is, yep. So thank you. I won't be sleeping tonight.
And,
so
that's how I approached my laptop at the end of that film. I basically mimicked her after watching that. Yeah. Yep. Moved house shortly after that. Good. Mark, what about you? What's one of the first films that scared you?
Oh, wow. So between having an older brother who liked scaring his younger brother and having cable in my bedroom since like the age of 4, maybe 5, I kind of grew up on horror movies from a very young age. So I cannot remember the first one that scared me the most, but it's a small group of them. So, like, the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I just had to listen in my head. Original Nightmare on Elm Street, Night of the Demons, Return of the Living Dead. These are all movies I saw before the age of 6. And, you know, they scared the hell out of me. But horrors are now, like, my new favorite movies. Well, not new, but they've been my favorite movies my whole life now. So it's kind of weird. Like, the things that scare you are the things you gravitate to. Almost, but yeah, I don't know what it says about my psyche watching those movies so young, but they scared the hell out of me, and I've been living poor ever since.
I can see that. I've watched most of the Nightmare on Elm Street films, and I think I watched them more in like quick succession, so you quite quickly get to the parts where Freddy's a comedian and not at all scary. So in my mind, I just kind of have re-edited the first ones where he's just a funny guy in those as well.
But they're the best ones. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Like, from the age of 6, I definitely saw, well, the first 3 Nightmare on Elm Street movies. So, yeah, I think the third one came out, like, in 87, 88. And I was born in 85, so I watched it, you know, like, yeah, around 1990s when it finally, like, kind of trickled down. I actually saw it. But, yeah, like, I grew up on 80s you know, horror. Again, oh, Prince of Darkness, another, you know, good one that scared the hell out of me.
Alice Cooper.
Yes, I remember having nightmares from watching Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, the whole, the arm stretching scene. Like, I, before we knew what, like nighttime paralysis was, I'm pretty sure I had, like, a, you know, a situation, and I saw Freddy, but I was, like, six. I'm like, oh, I'm just dreaming. But I'm pretty sure it was, like, you know, that waking dream business. But I'm okay now. I'm a well-adjusted adult. So, you know, thumbs up.
Good. Glad to hear. Okay. I feel like we all know each other a little bit better. Wonderful. So let's get back to the game. Second round, more categories on the table. And Mark, as the person in third place, you're going to get to pick where we start this time round. And there are two J-doubles across the board here. So our six categories now are Mary has something other than a lamb. The Lithgow test. S is for superhero. Market 8, dude. Steely Dan fan. And yes for R2. And I only wrote one of these categories. Mary has something other than a lamb. The Lithgow test. S is for superhero. Market 8, dude. Steely Dan fan. And yes for R2. For R2. Mm-hmm. Before we get into this, Mark, three of these are written by Nick. Do you reckon you know which three?
So, Nick happened to mention to me that he wrote some categories, so very Nick. I'm like, okay. Of course, you know, full disclosure, he did not say anything past that, but he did mention. So I'm interested to see which ones. Knowing my friend's sense of humor, Mary has something other than a little lamb is something I think that he would do. Yes, Feratu is a pun that Nick would make. And I would think, the Lithgow test, because he's such a big fan of puns. So I think those three.
Right, you got one out of three. We'll see how you did later. You'll see which one later on.
Okay. Let's go with yes for R2.
That's the one that I wrote. So I am I am thrilled that you think that's a Nick Rehak level pun. I will take that as a compliment.
I would not.
Doesn't matter. I'm it's joking. Been accepted. It's mine. So this is all about upbeat vampire films. So vampire comedies. Yes for R2. Not no for R2. Yes for R2. These points now are 200, 400, 600, 800, and 1,000. What do you want to do, Mark?
Let's go with 200.
Okay, for 200 points. Tim Burton's movie reboot of a 60s supernatural soap. Mark.
What is Dark Shadows?
That is correct. Featured Johnny Depp as a vampire, Eva Green as a witch, and Chloe Grace Moretz as a werewolf. That is correct. The board is still yours.
Let's go with 400.
Okay, for 400 points, the four main vampires at the start of this film are known as Peter, Deacon Brook...
Tony. What we do in the shadows.
That is correct. Vladislav the Poker and Viego von Dornish Martin Schaden Heimberg.
So. And I was thinking of the show, which if you haven't seen it, the show is hilarious. Please watch the first season.
I need to find time for the second, and now like the third, and then Wellington Paranormal, and there's too many things. God damn it. Tony, the board is yours.
Let's go for 600.
Okay, for 600 points. In this 1987 horror comedy, Dracula blows up a child's treehouse by throwing dynamite into it.
Mark!
Tony. Mark.
What is Monster Squad?
That is correct. Quipping.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned. In a horribly 80-yard line. But it's funny. Mark, the board is yours.
Let's go with 800.
That's a daily double.
Ooh, shit.
Scoring update. Mark, you have 1,100 points. Justin has 1,400. Tony has 4,800. You may bid up to 1,100 points. What would you like to do?
Ooh, okay. Hopefully, this daily double is as easy as the first daily double was. Not I may regret this, but let's go with 1,000.
1,000 points, okay. Mm-hmm. This question is just for Mark. So, Mark. Tim Capello, who once appeared on stage with Carly Simon, where he was wearing a leather G-string, cropped up as a shirtless saxophone player, in this 1980s vampire classic.
So when you say saxophonist, that's when I instantly knew what this movie was, because it's probably displayed, and I just watched it. So I'm like, okay, why? And if I'm wrong, I'm gonna be really embarrassed. But what is The Lost Boys?
That is correct.
Okay.
I just googling fact checking the question. I found out the thing about Carly Simon. He was just wearing a leather G-string, and I thought, yeah, I have to. That should just be in the question. And it is. So there we go.
Yes, because that scared me for a second. I'm not going to lie. Like, what? Carly Simon, Leather G-String? I have no idea what movie this is.
There were also some, apparently during that tour, she would bring him on stage wearing a leather harness and a bull collar and stuff. Anyway, they sound like they had a fun time. And 1,000 points are yours, and the board is yours. What do you want to do?
Let's finish this off for 1,000.
Okay, for 1,000 points, if anyone wonders why some people don't like James Corden, one of the reasons
Tony. What is lesbian vampire killers?
That is correct. One of the reasons could be he starred in this crass, atrocious, and very stupid film about two guys who've been targeted by some beautiful queer bloodsuckers. Terrible film. Bad film. Shouldn't have brought it up. Awful film.
I was hoping that you were mentioned Once Bitten in this category.
See, I've used this category before, and we did Once Bitten then. So it has come up. I see. Not... Yes, Ferratu is too good of a name not to use twice.
although you shouldn't have used it to remind people that lesbian vampire killers exist.
Shouldn't, and I regret that, and I was running out of time. That's the only reason. So, anyway. Tony, the board is yours. What category do you want to do next?
Let's go for Lithgow Test for 200.
Okay, this was sent in by Movie Rob. Thank you, Movie Rob. This is all about films where John Lithgow plays a supporting role. Simple enough. So, for 200 points... In which film did Lithgow play Pastor Reverend Shaw Moore, whose role was played by Dennis Quaid in the 2011 remake? I have misjudged the difficulty of this question. Any guesses? Three. Anyone there? Hello?
Oh, no, we're here.
Okay. Three, two, one. Looking for, what is Footloose? More well-known outside of this podcast, it seems.
They rebooted that, I didn't know.
They did, Dennis Quaid played the John Lithgow role. From what I can hear, it's terrible. Because of Dennis Quaid, who could say?
That is a downgrade going from John Lithgow to Dennis Quaid.
I mean, yeah, but there's not many upgrades from Lithgow. In my opinion. So, Tony, the board is still yours.
Let's go for 400 with this one.
Okay, for 400 points. In which film did Lithgow play former CIA agent Eric Quaylen, who is seeking lost treasury bills in the Rockies?
Tony. What is Cliffhanger?
A fantastic film we recently covered on Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. That is correct. The board of the
so office. I just found out I was on mute for the last 5 minutes, and yeah, that's fun.
did you answer anything?
I did, but that's okay.
That's okay. Did you answer Footloose?
No, I didn't.
Okay, because you were definitely putting first on that one, and I can't verify anything else. So.
No, I know. I definitely beat him for Cliffhanger, but that's okay. Yeah. That's just my fault. I accidentally clicked it earlier and then never clicked it away. So anyway, I'm back.
Okay. I mean, I do have a spare question for this round, so I could sub that one.
No. It's okay. Totally fine. He's murdering us anyway, so it's fine.
Okay. What do you want to do, Tony? Carry on the slaughter?
Keep going.
Okay. For 600 points, in which film did Lithgow play Charles Rodman, father of James Franco, suffering from Alzheimer's?
Tony. What is Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
That is correct.
Let's keep going.
Okay, for 800 points. The movie where he played a role originated by Fred Gwynne in the 1989 original. The movie where John Lithgow played a role originated by Fred Gwynne in the 1989 original. 3, 2, 1.
Justin. Why not?
Justin.
What is Pet Sematary?
That is correct.
Oh.
He played Judd in the 2019 remake I haven't seen of a film I haven't seen.
The ground's gone sour.
So I
hear. Let's just do 1,000.
Okay, for 1,000 points. Which film did Lithgow play a banker who has an affair with Deborah Winger after her husband neglects her and their kids? Lithgow plays a banker who has an affair with Deborah Winger after Deborah Winger's husband neglects Deborah Winger and their kids.
Justin. What is Terms of Endearment?
That is correct.
Give Justin's me some Lithgow.
Making a play. Yeah.
All right. I'm missing the categories now.
Okay, we have Mary Has Something Other Than a Lamb. S is for Superhero. Market 8 Dude and Steely Dan Fan.
Let's do the superhero one.
Okay.
These 200.
Also, these were also sent in by Movie Rob. And these questions are all about superhero films, starting with S. Nice and simple. So, for 200 points... 2021 superhero film featuring characters called Razor Fist and Death Dealer.
And Mark?
Mark, I think that was.
Yes. What is Shang-Chi in the... Is it Ten Rings? Yes.
It's close. It's The Legend of the Ten Rings. I'll give it to you. It's close enough.
Ah, Legend of the Ten Rings. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
That is correct. It takes place in Asia in San Francisco. That is correct.
I have yet to see that.
It's very good.
Is it? Okay, great.
I enjoyed that great deal. Yeah.
Okay. Let's continue. As is for superhero.
Okay.
For 400.
400 points. That's a day double. Oh, shit. You got that's the last one on the board, so Justin did not get one, I'm afraid. But so scoring update, Mark, you have 2,300, Justin has 3,200, and Tony has 6,800. Mark, you may bid up to 2,300 points on this.
Okay.
Otherwise, 400 point superhero question.
Okay, so let's actually, I am going to stick with 400. Let's go 400.
Oh.
Do you want to take a minute and think about it?
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, because like, you're not doing well.
it's a 400 point question.
Oh, okay. Okay, I feel like I'm being goaded. No, let's go back.
You do what you want to do. I just want to make sure you understand what we're doing.
Okay. 800 points. Fuck it, make it 1,000.
1,000. Okay, 1,000 points.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope you get this right. I'll feel very bad if you don't. this is just for Mark. Mark, for 1,000 points, this star basketball player played a superhero named John Henry in this really silly 1997 film.
Come on, could you repeat that for me?
This star basketball player played a superhero named John Henry in a really silly 1997 film. Certainly the name of the basketball player who starred in this film from 1997 that is apparently very silly.
Oh, God.
Justin wishes he had this question.
Very much.
Oh, my God. 1997, so I have to name the basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
I'll give you a clue. It's someone I've heard of.
Oh, wow.
Which narrows it down to maybe two. So.
Okay, so I think I have a person. I'm trying to think. They did a movie in 97? And like a superhero movie? Okay, so let's go with who is Shaquille O'Neal?
Yeah,
that is correct.
Oh, nicely done.
Great.
So 1,000 points are yours. You have 2,000 points from your
day doubles. What was the movie?
Steel.
Okay, because I was thinking Shazam. No, what was it called? Shazam with Cliff? No.
He did another film.
Yeah, it was Kazam.
Kazam. Okay.
That's what.
So that was my hold up.
That's one of those Mandela things of. Anyway, congratulations. Points are yours.
Thank you.
At this point, I feel like it's me trying to get somebody other than Tony to win. Or like get someone else up to his level is how I play this game now. So as a host, I play my own games. So, Mark, the board is yours. You have 6, 8, and 1,000 left in this one, or everything left in Mary Had Something Other Than a Lamb, which I'm getting sick of saying, Mark 8 Dude, or Steely Dan Fan. We've yet to hit a Nick Rehack category, and he did half of
it. All right. Let's keep it going with S for 800.
Okay.
We've got
6, 8, and 1,000 left.
Okay, let's go with 6.
Okay, for 600 points. In 1984, this actress donned a red cape and took to the skies when her cousin took on an interstellar mission. Should be one of her character's cousin, I would say. Yeah.
No idea.
I think I have an answer, but I'm not too sure.
Okay. Do-do-do. What do you think it might be, Mark?
Is it like the crappy Superman movie?
I mean, you could say that. It's Supergirl, which I think could be described as the crappy Superman movie. I haven't seen it.
I know there's one really campy one. I haven't seen
Superman 4, The Quest for Peace is supposed to be terrible. I've not seen anything beyond the first Superman, but Helen Slater was the answer we were looking for as the actress in Supergirl. And that. So, do you want to keep on with this category or move somewhere else?
You know what? Let's go with... I'm intrigued to see what Mr. Reed had cooked up for Mary Has Something Other Than a Lamb.
Poetry.
For 200.
Yes, and Nick has written a bunch of poems. These are all poems about films featuring somebody called Mary to the tune of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Wow.
This is a very Nick category. Yeah.
Nick sent in 3 categories worth of questions already, and I was like, great, this is exemplary work already. And then, just as I was finishing putting the category around the questions together on Friday, I get this email saying, do this! And it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is my magnum opus! And I mean, I don't disagree. This is glorious work, and he's given me a spare one, so we're doing all 6 of these.
Okay.
Just so you know, but only 5 will be points. So, I need to tell you what film I'm describing with this poem. Okay? you say for 200 points, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, poetry really cold. For 200 points, Mary had a little umbrella whose magic helped her fly. The man she fell in love with is a bit
Justin.
Of a cockney boy. Justin.
What is Mary Poppins?
That is correct. The man she falls in love with is a bit of a cockney guy. So yes, Mary Poppins. What is Mary Poppins' governor? Was the actual answer that Nick put down. But I will accept Mary Poppins. That is
Thank you. part of me, the rude part of me, wants to just move to a different category now that you've prepped us for this one. But I'll just go back and we'll do 400.
Thank you. I mean, what would have been great is if when David was on, somebody has David for one question, then he goes somewhere else.
Yeah.
The whole rest of the game, he's just sat waiting. So I'm glad for his sake that didn't happen. So for 400 points. Nick. Mary had a little semen strewn about her hair. Ted thought
Justin.
What is there something about Mary?
That is correct. I'll just read this whole thing. Mary had a little semen strewn about her hair. Ted thought about correcting her, but decided he wouldn't dare.
600.
Okay, for 600 points. Mary had a little pen pal. Good lord, this movie's depressing. Tony.
What is Mary and Max?
That's correct. Filled with death and suicide, the grey clay is all the more distressing.
800?
Yep, for 800 points. Mary had a little engagement to an astronaut named John. She's estranged from her friend Peter, whose senses linger on. I'll read it again. Mary had a little engagement to an astronaut named John. She's estranged from her friend Peter, whose senses linger on. Three, two, one. Do-do-do. Okay, this is fine. I kind of hope this will happen, because I can just slide the spare one in. We can pretend it's a normal question. That was Spider-Man 2, was what we were after there. So don't worry, we're going to stick with the 800 point. Yeah, Mary Jane... She's estranged. She's married.
Right.
She's engaged to
him. I was under the impression that Mary was going to be in the title of the movie.
Oh, no, that's not necessarily the case. I can see why you'd think that, because that was the case for the three previous questions, but it's not the case for any more in this round. That's my bad. Okay.
Fair enough, no problem.
But there is a prominent character called Mary in this. We're sticking with 800 points, so I'm just going to give you the spare question instead. So, for 800 points. Mary had a little briefcase. She left it by a chair. Her limo driver noticed it and drove out west to give it to her there.
Justin. What is Dumb and Dumber?
That is correct. And that is also too many syllables in the last line. Nick, do better.
Let's finish the category off.
Okay, for 1,000 points. Mary had a little colour when she should have been black and white. Her name in real... Tony.
What's his Pleasantville?
That is correct. Her name in real life was Jennifer, forced to play her character's role right. Pleasantville is correct. Thank you, Nick, as always. Glorious work. And Tony, the board is yours.
What do we have left?
We have 800 and 1,000 in S is for superhero. And everything in Market 8 Dude and Steely Dan Fan.
Yeah, let's go back to S for Superhero for 800.
Okay, for 800 points. John Leguizamo plays the villain.
Mark! In
Justin.
Mark.
What is Spawn?
That is correct. Damn. In this 1997 superhero film, dressed as a clown. What do you want to do?
Let's keep it going in S for Superhero.
Okay, for 1,000 points. This recently deceased actress, Christ keep it light, played the title character in Sheena in 1984, and during her career was also one of the Charlie's Angels, a Bond girl, and was on that 70s show. This recently deceased actress played the title character in Sheena in 1984, and during her career was also one of Charlie's Angels, a Bond girl, and appeared on that 70s show. Or on the 70s show? Is there a difference?
No, it should definitely be that 70s show. But yeah. Who recently died? And how recent is recent?
I'm looking up now. I didn't check on this.
These are all excellent questions.
Yeah. This year.
I have no idea.
Yeah, recent is not the word I would have used. January of this year.
Oh, okay.
3, 2, 1, do-do-do. Looking for, who is Tanya Roberts? She played Stacey Sutton in A View to a Kill. Anyone checking on that? Also played in The Beastmaster. Good. R.I.P. Tanya Roberts. So no questions, no points for that one. And we'll move on. So Mark, the board is still yours. We have everything left in Mark 8 Dude and Steely Dan Fan, all of which was submitted by Nick Rehack.
Okay, Market 8, dude. Let's go with Market 8, dude, for 200.
Okay, in this one, I'm going to give you a year, a director, and an actor, all related to a film that has 8 in the title. Tell me which film with 8 in the title was released in that year, directed by that director, and starred that actor. Okay. So for 200 points, 1996, Paul Thomas Anderson, Philip Tony. Baker Hall. Tony.
Justin. What's his heartache?
That is correct. And I have been told if I use this question, I must plug that Nick has recently appeared on the Popcorn Auteur podcast talking about Paul Thomas Anderson and all of his films. There you go, Nick. I did it for you. You're welcome.
Keep going.
Okay, for 400 points. 2002. Ellery Elkayem. Elkayem? Elkayem? Scarlett Johansson.
Justin. What is Eight-Legged Freaks?
That is correct. Well done, sir.
Keep going.
Okay, for 400 points. 2002. Seth Kearsley. Adam Sandler.
Tony.
Mark.
What's his 8 Crazy Nights?
That is correct.
Let's keep going.
I watch it every year.
Never seen it. For 800 points. 1997. Thomas Shulman, Joe Pesci.
Mark. What is 8 heads in a duffel bag?
That is correct.
Okay. Let's keep it going.
Okay, for 1,000 points. 1997. Kevin Reynolds, Samuel L. Jackson.
Mark.
Mark.
What is 187?
That is correct. I've never even heard of that film.
All right. It's actually a very good movie.
Okay. Well, tell us more.
Very good. Okay. So, if I remember this correctly, I remember enjoying it quite a bit. I haven't seen it in like a decade, at least. But essentially, Samuel L. Jackson plays a teacher, and something traumatic happens in his classroom, and he relocates to L.A. And, you know, similar situations happen, you know, in his classroom at this new school where he's trying to, you know, reach the students, but, you know, there are gang members and things in place. And it's kind of like, it's like Dangerous Minds meets movie with Michael Douglas, and he like loses his shit and starts like, you know,
Falling
going
Down.
Postal. Yes. So it's like Dangerous Minds meets Falling Down. And, you know, it's a good
Falling
Minds. I enjoyed it. Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. That's what I've learned today. Good. 187.
Oh.
Not available anywhere. Oh, it's on Prime. Oh, hey. Excellent. Okay, so we have everything left in Steely Dan fan. I'll tell you now, these questions are all about dildos.
Are you serious?
Yep. Nick wrote this. You should not be surprised.
I'm not. Like, okay. How many times do diddles appear in movies?
At least five.
Oh, God.
Actually, at least six is a spare.
How many movies do I know of these? Okay. So, that's for 200 in Steely Dan.
For 200 points. Just when you think you have some alone time to slide on down, your parents, brother, grandparents, priest, and the children you volunteer for all show up to wish you a happy birthday. I hope my neighbours can hear this. Just when you think you have some alone time to slide on down, your parents, brother, grandparents, priest, and the children you volunteer for all show up to wish you a happy birthday.
I can see this scene in my head, but I can't think of it.
Me too.
I've seen this film several times. Three.
It's for 200, right?
It is.
Screw it, Justin.
Justin.
What is Not Another Teen Movie?
That is correct.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
Oh man, it was worth it. Okay, 400.
You say 400?
Yeah.
Okay, for 400 points, we hear the tale of Smithy Robinson, who Hatchet Harry beat to death with a 15-inch black rubber dildo in this British crime caper. We hear the tale of Mark.
What is that crime thriller?
What?
Okay.
Oh, is it? So I thought you said what is a crime thriller? That's not.
No. I was
going to
say thriller.
I said crime caper. But
caper. Okay.
Thriller would work too.
Okay, crime caper. Okay. Let's go with what is rock and roller?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Tony.
What is Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
That is correct.
Second guess.
Yeah.
of course, that's one of the Guy Ritchie ones.
Yeah. It's funny because my guess would have been Snatch, so that's perfect.
I mean, that would be more fitting for anyway. Tony, we have 6, 8, and 1,000.
Let's go 6.
Okay, for 600 points. This TV, film, Broadway, writing, directing, award-winning duo discover a pair of XXXXXXXL-sized underwear and a dildo, which they proceed to kiss and lick.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you repeat that?
Can you ask it again?
No. This TV, film, and Broadway writing, directing, and award-winning duo discover a pair of 8Xs and 1L-sized underwear. Justin.
So you want the duo?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with who is Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Then you will be correct. That is right. It's in Basketball, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know what movie it was from, but when you described them that way, it's actually.
There's not many bad people it could be.
Exactly.
The Darden brothers. No. We have 800 and 1,000. Justin, what do you want?
Let's do 800.
Okay, for 800 points. Vibrators galore in this biographical Victorian-era rom-com as Maggie Gyllenhaal and Hugh Dancy explore the invention of the vibrator. Vibrators galore in this biographical Victorian-era rom-com as Maggie Gyllenhaal and Hugh Dancy explore the invention of the vibrator. Vibrators Galore is the name of my new pop-up shop. it'll be appearing in Covent Garden soon. 3, 2, 1. Do-do-do. Looking for what is hysteria? Hysteria. No worries. And last question on the board for 1,000 points. Peg isn't just a song by Steely Dan. It's the sexual act alluded to by Hank to Charlie during a confrontation in this comedy from 2000. Peg isn't just a song by Steely Dan. It's the sexual act alluded to by Hank to Charlie during a confrontation in this comedy from 2000. 3, 2, 1. Do-do-do. We're looking for what is Me, Myself, and Irene.
Mm. Oh, yeah. But see, I take issue with that question only because pegging, I'm going to detail here, it's not a strap on, it was a dildo. So pegging is strapped on to somebody who's doing that. But anyway, that's.
If you want to contest it, I have a spare question. I can sub it in.
No, it's really
nice. Let's do it.
We're doing the spare. No one got any points for that one, so we're doing the spare. So for 1,000 points, he's written Betty Cocker. I think he meant Betty Crocker. Betty Crocker might have been discussed. Fuck it. Betty Cocker might have been discussed. But we see a very Seussical purple and white rubber phallus front and centre. I'm just reading this as written. Betty Cocker might have been discussed, but we see a very Seussical, as in Dr. Seuss, Seussical, purple and white rubber phallus front and centre.
I actually think I know this.
I just need to hear your name.
I know.
Three, two, one.
Justin. What is the 40-year-old virgin?
That is correct.
Yes.
Let's go.
1,000 points for Justin.
It because it actually is Betty Cocker.
Okay.
Because Seth Rogen says it.
Of course. I mean, it makes sense in context. Good. Well, final scores for Double Empty. Mark is in third place with 5,500. Justin is second with 6,800. Tony in the lead with 9,600. Okay. I can sense Justin doing the maths. It's
working. So I just texted Nick. I just said, dildos, really? And he gave me 7 laughing emojis.
He said that at some point you would say he needs Jesus in his life. So I'm disappointed that didn't happen.
Oh, God.
I was surprised he didn't use The Departed at all, because there's a scene with one of those in that movie. So
I mean, maybe he'll send questions for next month. Who knows?
There you go.
Okay.
I'm surprised that I don't know that many movies with dodo scenes. I'm a little shocked by myself. I'm more of a prude than I had anticipated.
There's a whole other genre he didn't even tap into for this that I'm sure has many that we're not going to. It's a family show. It's not a family show. Okay, so final empty. For this one, I'm going to give you a category genre. You tell me how many of your points in a secret message you would like to bid, and then we'll go from there. So with the release of a new trailer yesterday, I felt like the only thing that we could do here is a question on Batman. So final question is on Batman. And to do this, I went to the person I know who knows the most about Batman, which is DJ Valentine from Specific Reviews. I'll give you a little history on how this question came around. I said to DJ, give me a medium difficulty question on Batman. He first came back with saying, in Batman 89, before Joker kills Vinny, the gangster, by throwing a pen in his throat, what's the name Joker refers to himself by? That's a medium difficulty question from DJ. Yeah. What is this one obscure line of dialogue from a film that came out 32 years ago? So I said that's too hard. Then he then gave me a list of other ones that were also too hard. We eventually settled on one that DJ described as being very easy. So that's as far as I'm going to read down to you. This is a question that DJ believes to be very easy on Batman. So I have everyone's bids in. Thank you, everyone. The very easy question is, what is the name of the company where Joker makes his deadly chemical in Batman 1989? It has appeared as a cameo in several other DC films. And we're back. I've got everyone's bids and everyone's answers, and let's find out what happened here. So the question was, what is the name of the company where the Joker makes his deadly chemical in Batman 1989? It appears in many other DC films. Thank you, DJ, for this question. So, Mark was in third place. He bid 2,500 points, and he answered Kablamo. Great name. Love that name. It is not correct. So, I'm sorry, Mark, you lost.
I'm okay with that.
Is that something from DC or just something you came up with?
It is something I came up with. Okay. And I'm glad you know what? I did not come up with that. I think it was like a novelty company from Mad TV.
Possibly. I just Googled Batman Kablamo and not a lot came up. But I think it's a board game company or something. By the way, great name. I would like to see a villain called Kablamo or a sidekick called Kablamo. I'm here for that. It's great. But you end up on 3,000 points, so well done. Justin had 6,800 points, and he bid everything. And he answered, what is Axis Chemicals? That is correct.
Let's go.
It is Axis. And so Justin ends with 13,600 points. Tony also bid everything. Tony bid 9,600 points. He answered Smilex. Smilex, Tony, is the name of the poison. Is very close.
Oh, no!
The name of the poison that makes the frozen grin of the victim, so it is not the name of the company. But, I mean, well done. That's when DJ sent me this question, it's super easy. My response was, what the fuck? I don't know. I Googled it, and Axis came up. I was like, I mean, maybe. It's not ringing any bells. But yes, it is Axis, so well done, Justin. You are the winner of today's show. You are going to be in the final.
I almost feel bad.
Well, you Tony ends this in third place. He ends with nothing. Not even a bus fare home, but it's okay. This is on Skype. He's already home, so he doesn't need a bus fare. So well done. Well done, Justin. Just some other questions that DJ sent that are like super easy. How much does Vicky Vale say she weighs in Batman 89?
Oh my God.
In The Dark Knight, when Alfred's telling Bruce about the jewel story, what country is he talking about? What zodiac sign does the Joker tell Vicky Vale he is? Who is the second person to take one of Catwoman's lives in Batman Returns? And then he said, the one that's like super uber easy, what profession was Thomas Wayne? Anyone know that one?
Doctor. I would say banker.
Yeah, I replied Wayne Enterprises, but you're close. It's a surgeon. I would have taken doctor. Then DJ detailed how many times was shown with him doing doctory things in just Batman Begins. Like, I saw this film, I don't know, three times ever.
That's true. He has the stethoscope.
Yeah, I don't remember the stethoscope at all.
Now that you say it, yeah.
But either way, I've been proven incorrect by somebody getting the answer right. So well done, Justin. And as the winner of today's show, Justin, you get to do your plugs first. What have you got to promote?
The Rambling Ramblers movie podcast, as always, we're on a... Oh, actually, when is this going up, Jay?
Sometime before the end of the month.
Okay. So, yeah, the Rambling Ramblers movie podcast, we are, well, kind of like you, Jay. My co-host, Pete, has taken a little bit of a break, and so I'm going into the bag of guests, and we're just doing me and a guest for the next couple months, and
you're actually going to be joining me in a couple months, so what? Or next month, I can't really remember. So that should be a lot of fun. And yeah, so we just finished up our Cohen rewatch rankings. That was a lot of fun. And our most recent episode was Blue Velvet, which that was a trip. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I feel like I need to rewatch that film before listening to that episode. But I really enjoyed your Cohen look back and your Cohen ranking and how much I disagreed with everything you said on the Cohen ranking.
So you agreed with him?
Well, actually, I have Raising Arizona pretty low as well. So that much we agreed on.
Okay. It was honestly just a lot of fun just to be in the same room together. I know if fellow podcasters are listening, and most of us don't get to record in the same room ever. And so to be able to do that was just a lot of fun. So it was worth it for that. But then we also got to talk about the Coens for 2 hours. So really, it was all good there.
Yeah, the last podcast I recorded in the same room was with Tony. Was the Joker.
The game at the breakfast club.
At breakfast the next day, yeah. Just, hey, let's go have breakfast. I'm going to bring a game. You can't enjoy breakfast. We must play this movie game for the podcast. The audio will be terrible. That was fun. Mark, what have you got to plug?
Nothing much. I think the last time French Toast Sunday podcast, it was our first round of Lamperty.
That's the last time
earlier
this year.
Yeah, so I do understand, you know, one of the things that really makes French Toast Sunday really great is that we're all in the same room. So until we can do that, you know, we'll be around at some point, but we're all still friends and talk to each other often. But being in the same room for a podcast, hopefully it'll happen once before the end of the year. But other than that, there's nothing to plug.
I'll believe that.
Wait for our return.
Think about how special that's going to be when that finally happens. That's what's getting me through the day. Is there will be another French Toast Sunday episode eventually, I'm certain of it.
Yes. Good. Yes.
And Tony, any plugs?
So yeah, over on my side, I've just published a whole set of reviews of films I saw as part of the London Film Festival. So I have reviews up for Ron's Gone Wrong, Last Night in Soho, The Good Boss, Tree Things, Playground, and Flea. And so by the time this is up, I should have reviews up for Halloween Kills, Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and The Last Duel.
Fantastic. I have one question, which is how scary is Last Night in Soho?
I was actually quite scared. I freaked out watching it.
That's the wrong answer. I didn't want to hear that.
Style is so well suited for horror.
Okay. I mean, I'll go see it anyway, but I'll just... During the day, maybe. good.
Put on your big boy pants, Jay.
I don't have any.
It's going to be okay. I mean, living through a pandemic has to be scarier than anything you can see on film.
But still doing that. We still have that fear. This is just building on
right.
you can, listeners, find more of my podcasting over at Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, where, as Justin just mentioned, I am currently doing Deep Blue Sea adjacent films, flying solo whilst Mark is on podcasting paternity leave with a child. How dare he? We had a baby. It's our podcast. It's not enough for him. So we are doing Deep Blue Sea adjacent films, so films featuring sharks or underwater action, or directed by Rennie Harlan. We've recently done shows on Cliffhanger, and this week's show was on Leviathan from 1989 with Robert Zerbe, which was a lot of fun. And before the end of the month, will be a show with Justin Gott on The Descent, which is barely Deep Blue Sea adjacent, but we'll make it work. And
You told me it was.
Yeah, it's close enough. It's underground. It's below ground level.
They both begin with the letter D. You know, Descent. The first two letters.
D-E, yeah, there we go. That's basically the same film. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that next week at this point. But I watched it this morning, and I'm looking forward to talking about that. So that's going to be a good time. If you ever wondered how deep and blue various films that no one should be calibrating depth and blueness on, then listen to Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. It's all we do. And my writing can be found at lifeversusfilm.com, lifevsfilm, where I'm trying to get back into reviewing films from the 1,000 Movies You Must See Before You Die list. As I've mentioned, I've just watched The Wizard of Oz again recently. This will be the third time I've watched it with the intention to review it. Will I do it this time? Who knows? Let's hope so. And then there's the lamb. You know about the lamb because this is the Lambcast, and you already know about the lamb. If you have a movie blog or podcast and aren't a member of the lamb, then head over to largeassmovieblogs.com and join us. We want to have more members. I've been adding some more people recently, so come join the flock. But as for today, congratulations to our latest finalist, Justin Gott, for joining the ranks. He's going to join Lisa and whoever wins next month for that one. So, nice. Well done, Justin.
What is victory?
There we go. Also, thank you to his defeated competitors, Mark Armstead and Tony Cogan.
Yeah, I planned on losing. I honestly think my first round, my friends let me win, so I had to do this again. So
they knew it was coming and didn't want it.
Exactly. Yeah, so, but it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit of dramatic irony that I was dominated for so much of the game to lose at the last. See, come last at the
you
end.
You got too cocky with your bidding, Tony. If you're in first place, you don't bid everything. You could.
I've had to bid to beat Justin, yeah, if I got it right.
That's true, yes. There was no way you could have won this. But still, well done. Like, you played a great game. Everyone played a great game. Congratulations to everyone. Come back next month, because next month we have three former, not just in this tournament first-round winners, but actual other Lampardy winners. Dylan Fields, Aaron Newirth, and Todd Liebenau battling out for that final place. So let's see what happens there. It's going to be a tough one next month. But I've been Jake Lewitt. And I'll see you next week. Month. Damn it. that's just going to stay in as it is. I'm not going to change that at all. Because I'm so used to saying...
it's instinct.
I'm so used to my Deep Blue Sea one. Well...
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.